The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's guest, we have Frank Thorpe joining us. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So I would first like to say your work is so freaking cool.
Before
we get into all that, can you kind of give our listeners a background on yourself, who you are, and what you do?
Yeah, so I work for NBC News, and I actually cover the U.S. Senate as a producer and reporter. So my actual photography work is a little bit like secondary to, or actually like probably the third thing that I do. For my job. But my job is to basically, you know, kind of manage the coverage for NBC News of the United States Senate. I mean, if you think about, you know, all the impeachment stuff that just happened, like that was like basically my job to make sure that we had the cameras that we needed to have where they needed to go. And we were covering what we needed to cover both, you know, logistically and editorially. But I have like this passion for photography that I've had almost my entire life. I mean, you know, I bought one of the Sony Mavica, you know, 3.5-inch floppy disk digital cameras.
Yes.
That, you know,
those
saved up all my money and, you know, bought one of those.
How many megapixels was that? Like,
I don't even know. I have that in I think it's in my dad's basement. I need to go pick it up and just like see what it looks like.
Yeah. I remember for my high school graduation, my dad like bought one from work and it was like, we have pictures of us looking at the back of the camera and the thing is like gigantic.
I don't even know. I mean, it's so funny. I mean, like, I don't even know how I would process or even pull pictures from that camera out into my computer now. But anyway, so I bought one of those, you know, when I was a kid. And then, you know, I've shot, you know, just because I liked art and I was, you know, interested in that kind of stuff. I didn't really get into photography in earnest until I lived in Haiti for a year and a half. And I had a camera. It was a, you know, an SLR, and it, you know, it was a good enough camera just to kind of like, you know, bop around with. But I was working as like kind of like a freelance journalist. And what we would do is kind of just go around on motorcycles and with a bunch of other photographers, like professional photographers who would, you know, take pictures of certain things. And, you know, either it was a riot or if it was just, you know, like an event. This was actually right after the earthquake in Haiti. So, and I learned a lot. Wow. I mean, you know, they were really, really great. You know, some of the people that I met there were some of the best photographers that I had ever met. And they had done some really amazing work. And you're just kind of like learning from them, watching what they did and just trying to see, you know, like how they see things, you know, like that, see how they, like where they get their eye and what they saw in terms of, I mean, there's a lot of emotion in Haiti, and it's also a very colorful place. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, a very hard place to see. So, but anyway, so I did a lot of, you know, work there, freelancing mostly for NBC. And then when I came back to the United States, I worked on The Hill. And so, I mean, I've been shooting around, you know, at NBC, we have like kind of this luxury that we get all the agency pictures for all of our coverage. So it's a situation where, you know, we have like Reuters and AP pictures for either our video or our digital coverage on our website. So I'm kind of able to, you know, be a little bit more creative and go a little bit, you know, think outside the box a little bit with the stuff that I do, which is kind of nice. Like, and so that kind of gives me a little bit of freedom to be able to shoot what I want to shoot. NBC will use some of my pictures, but I'm not necessarily filing those pictures, you know, directly to NBC. I can kind of just put out what I want to put out, which, like I said, gives me a lot of freedom. And so, the film thing just came. I mean, I've been shooting film for like about 2 years now, and it's just been so awesome. It's been like, it's just like opened up a whole new world.
Oh, yeah. Man, so what made you bring like the whole 4x5 thing? Like, when we were talking about getting you on the show, I was literally showing like anyone I could your Instagram and being like, because you know how hot this impeachment trial thing was. I'm like, look at these pictures. This is insane. Yeah. And they're like, I don't get it. And I'm like, the negative's this big. Like,
right.
He's doing something that nobody else is doing right now. It's amazing.
So, when I started shooting film, I've been passionate about photography. So there's a guy, Pete Williams, who's our justice correspondent. He's been around forever. He's like my, you know, shining, guiding light in terms of journalism. And he loves photography. And we were talking at, you know, some event. And I was like, I'm thinking about shooting film. And he's like, oh, well, I have all these cameras. What are you thinking about shooting? And he's like, one of those cameras that you look down into. I didn't even know what they were called back. Medium format. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, a Hasselblad. I have three of them. You're like, come on by. Like, you know, he's like, come on by. I'll let you use it. So he let me use the medium format camera that I use, which is the Hasselblad 203 FE. So it has a light meter inside of it, which is like,
oh, nice.
For somebody like me, and especially in like a run and gun situation where it's in lower light.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's able to kind of compensate for, you know, I need to be able to take pictures a little bit quicker in some of those situations. And so, anyway, I'd been shooting around The Hill with that for about a year, and this Getty photographer came up, this guy, Mark Wilson, and he was like, so I see you're shooting with film. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I'm just messing around with it. You know, it's been a lot of fun. He's like, well, you know, I'm moving and I have all this 4x5 stuff. And so, you know, if you're interested, like, you know, I can bring it in and you can check it out if you want to. And so he brought in this beautiful, I mean, I don't know if you've seen that, I posted a couple pictures of like me shooting stuff actually at the hearings. It's, I mean, like they stripped off the leatherette. So the camera is just gorgeous. It's like, it's been stripped down and like they've, they sanded it down and they stained it. So it's just like this like really rich, beautiful brown, like it's like looks different than any other camera that I've seen. And I was like, oh yeah, 100%. Like I want to buy this camera. Like he gave me all these holders and all this kind of stuff. He gave me a crazy good deal on it. And at first, I mean, I got it and I was like super nervous about using it. Cause I mean, I just don't, I mean, mechanically and like technically, I didn't know necessarily how to, but I, you know, to be honest, like the biggest barrier for me was just picking it up and deciding to do it. And and it was the second time that I had used it was the first House impeachment hearing. It was like the first hearing that they had. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to try it. It's a historic hearing. This is, you know, a historic camera. Like, I'm just going to try to see whether this works. And I mean, I shot like maybe 10 or 12 frames at that first hearing. And I mean, like, I think made the mistake of posting a picture of me taking those pictures. Because then there was all this pressure on me to like actually produce images, you know? And I mean, so not only was that a lot of pressure, but I developed all my black and white stuff by myself. And so just developing, it was like maybe the second time I'd ever developed 4x5 before. And it was like, oh my God, there's so much pressure here. Like, you know, I got to make sure that this, like, I don't like totally mess this up and like pull it out.
My heart's pounding just thinking about it.
I know. Seriously, I don't think I had been that nervous. I can't even like think of the last time I had been that nervous. My heart was pounding the entire time. I was like, I'm like going to pull this out and like the pictures are just going to be stuck together. Like I didn't load it right. Like it was like this whole thing anyway, but it turned out really cool. And I mean, it gave the images from the hearing like this kind of like historic quality to it, like this kind of historic soul. And like this, I mean, and the fact that it, like the pictures were, I shoot most of the 4x5 I shoot is black and white. It gave it like this kind of like inherently historic look. And so it was less about like, you know, the camera and more just like the images that it was producing just kind of seemed to give it a different look and a significance that I really, really appreciated. And other people appreciated too, which was so cool.
So I have to ask, so NBC kind of gives you free rein, you said, on what you shoot and all that?
Yeah. That's the thing is that, I mean, like that's, I'm super, super lucky. And I mean, you know, I've come to know all of these like amazing photographers on the Hill who have their day jobs, you know what I mean? Like who have to actually like cover these events and aren't able to necessarily be as like creative, have like these deadlines where they have to file, you know, within like the hour, you know what I mean? Like the hearing it like starts, there's a swearing in. And then, you know, they need to be filing their picture immediately so that it can go up on the wire or on a website or, you know, on TV or something like that. I have this luxury where, I mean, at least with this stuff in particular, that, you know, I can kind of just do it. And because I have this relationship with the photographers, the thing is that like, I mean, you guys know this, like you guys talk to great photographers as a part of your show and just like, you know, I mean, like this entire community is just like so great about, you know, like talking and like trading tips and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mull around with like some of the most amazing photographers in the industry every day. And they're all so, I mean, I appreciate their work so much. And some of them are like some of my best friends on the Hill. And that's so awesome. And they've actually like really embraced the idea that, I mean, they might think it's kind of ridiculous that I walk around with this like totally absurd large camera, like with all my holders and stuff like that. But you know, they've kind of like really helped me like, hey, you can sit here, like, you know, like sit in the well, like take this picture, like this will be really cool. Oh, and so like,
perfect.
I've actually, you know, it, as much as, you know, I'm not required by NBC to do this, like I have the access to be able to make these pictures look really special. And because the community has been so great about like, you know, giving advice or like, you know, hey, like this angle look is really cool. Like, you want to sit on my stool or like, you want to use my stool, like that kind of thing. Like, you know, I've been really lucky to be able to learn as I'm going, like what kind of makes a good picture, but also like do my own thing at the same time and like be like a periphery view, which I think makes some of the pictures look so cool.
The photography is addition to what you actually do for NBC, right?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a totally, I mean, that's why I think, you know, it, like I have this kind of like cool side hustle kind of thing going. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, the thing is that, I mean, because it's not my actual full-time job, like I'm able to kind of like shoot when I can shoot and then don't shoot when I can't. I mean, like for instance, when it comes to, you know, the stuff that was happening with the impeachment trial, like my job on the Senate side is like very much, I mean, like I got to make sure that we're covering the trial. So, I mean, like there are situations there, which can be really frustrating as somebody who loves to capture images where like, I don't have my camera with me because like I have to doing stuff, you know, that like to make sure that we are prepared and like logistically in the right place and like, oh man, I wish I had my camera with me right now. But like, it was actually nice because I cover the Senate, particularly when it came to the House impeachment trial, you know, I was able to have a little bit more leeway because we have somebody who specifically covers the House. So I was able to kind of, you know, like drift in and out. I would help them, you know, I also shoot video too for NBC. I like put this, you know, Osmo, I don't know if you like, you know, those gimbal cameras.
Yeah.
And like, tape it to a stick and like put it up on top and like make it look like a drone inside, which is like actually really cool. And it gives like this totally interesting perspective like inside.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Oh, man, I love that.
It's so cool. It's funny too, because like I do it and like I wonder why more people don't do it. Like, it looks very, very cool. And it gives us like a totally different look that, because I mean, I don't know. I mean, and this kind of goes back to like the whole idea of shooting film on the Hill altogether. Like the idea that a lot of coverage, particularly of politics, can look very generic. And and the idea that, you know, a lot of stuff can be very much like exactly the same, particularly with video, because like there are a lot of situations where we'll just have like a pool camera. So it's like an only one camera, but it provides the feed for all of the different networks. Mm. So when there's a way to kind of differentiate yourself, that's, I strive for that every day. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I think I was like drawn to doing this with film, is the idea that, I mean, listen, I again, like I work with all these like amazing photographers. They all take amazing pictures and like some of them like very much differentiate themselves from others. But like the look of the pictures that I was taking with this 4x5 was just so different and so unique that it was like, once I started doing it, it was just like, all right, I'm just going to do this. I mean, there's one other photographer, David Burnett. I don't know if you've ever followed his stuff. He's like,
I've heard the name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he shoots, 4x5 too. And, then there's two photographers that were shooting film during the impeachment. There's this guy, David Burnett, who's been around forever. And he's like a legendary photographer. And then this guy, Louis Palou, who shoots just amazing stuff. And he shoots with the Mamiya, like a 6x6, all black and white stuff. He's been just doing this entire long-term project on impeachment. And it's just, but there's like, that's it. Like there's only three of us. And I mean, I think from the perspective of like, you know, I actually, you know, work covering the Hill, like I'm there for a longer period of time. So like, I have this like more like comprehensive, you know, body of work in terms of like the impeachment, but just in Congress in general. Anyway, it's so funny. Cause it's like Congress can be really boring. And like, and not only from like a coverage standpoint, but like, I understand, like, I mean, people in California, for instance, like, I mean, like I lived in California when I was a kid, like I didn't, you know, politics was like non-existent, you know what I mean? Like in particularly Congress. And so what for me, you know, I've covered the Hill for 9 years, like even just doing this, like, and having a creative outlet has been something that's been super helpful for me just to kind of like keep it interesting and keep it new and like
stay fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like kind of funny though, because like staying fresh, like with an old style of doing things, you know, I mean, this isn't a new thing. Like a lot of these photographers that I hang out with, like some of the older guys, like, I mean, like I'm just doing what they used to do, you know?
Right.
Anyway. It's been a really fun challenge.
We're in a very interesting time for our country. And the fact that you're taking these images and they look so unique is really going to stand out when we're looking back on this in 20 years or something like that. People are going to be like, wait, what year is this? This is incredible, you know?
Well, and that's, you know, and a lot of people would joke around and be like, you know, oh, there's Frank, you know, taking pictures of like the Nixon trial or whatever, you know, the Nixon.
Exactly. Where are his Nixon photos?
Right. And so, I mean, and the thing is that it's kind of interesting to kind of do it because what I'm doing is so different. Like it's not, you know, it's funny, like, you know, the White House National Press Association, they just had like their contest where like, you know, they gave out their awards. And, you know, what is kind of like regarded as like the quintessential photography in this era is something different. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, digital. I mean, these photographs are amazing, but like, and you know, digital like allows you to do such like amazing stuff and capture so many moments on the fly, just stuff that like you wouldn't necessarily do with film. I mean, for me, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, like, you know, with film, it just makes you so much more of like a deliberate photographer. It makes you have to think about your shots ahead of time. It's made me so much better of a photographer from the idea of anticipating what I want ahead of time. And the thing is that like right now, the way that photojournalism in particular is that, you know, it's kind of regarded as like some of those moments, those like on the fly moments that you wouldn't necessarily get to capture with like a 4x5 because you need to set it up and, you know, you need some time to kind of like do it. Like that's kind of like what is regarded as, you know, like kind of the great kind of like photojournalism moments, I think that are recognized now. But I do think that like there will be kind of a little bit of a, like the 4x5 stuff that I'm capturing, like kind of does kind of capture it in a different way. It's like more of like a, again, like it has like a historic look to it. It has a historic soul to it. It's like I mean, let's be honest, like when the solar flare comes and like destroys all of our digital files, these negatives are going to be the only like thing that we have, the only pictures that we have. So yeah, it's been really great. I mean, and again, like in terms of just like the community and stuff like that, the idea of shooting film and just being introduced to like people like you guys and like people like the people at Lomography and like, you know, it's just like you realize this community that's so passionate about this and it introduces you to all these people that just like encourage you and like, you know, are inspired and like it inspires you to like do more and like and it's just like it's been this kind of, you know, cascading situation where I mean, I love photography and I love, you know, digital photography. I still shoot digital. I still, you know, bop around my Fuji. I have X100 and like I think it's great. But like the community and the people that shooting film has introduced me to has just been like, it's been so eye-opening and so awesome and so inspiring.
Definitely.
Definitely. I count my blessings every day.
No, I mean,
that
like,
I got put into this community, man.
Well, yeah. And like with your, I mean, your show in particular, and like not to, you know, like, you know, butter you guys up or anything like that, but like, no joke. I mean, Lomography, like, I didn't even know Lomography existed until I listened to.
Oh, when, no way.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, like,
so cool.
I mean, I was just introduced, I had just introduced myself to film, and like, I was just like, you know, doing black and white stuff. I hadn't even like tried color, and like, you know, I heard the show you guys had with Lomography, and you know, like purple colored tinted film. I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. And I looked it up and it was sold out or whatever, but like it came available and I tried it. And then like Lynn Lomography, they reached out and like, the, you know, they featured the stuff that I did with the Hasselblad,
wow,
with the purple
stuff.
That's crazy. And it was so cool. Cause like, I mean, but honestly, like, I mean, it's so great how like the community seems to like be so encouraging. You know what I mean? Like, especially with, you know, journalism and photojournalism in particular, there's a competitiveness, obviously. I mean, like, you guys, you want to take the best picture and be in the best position. And if you have a scoop, like, you don't want to tell, you know, your competitors, like, what the scoop is. And like, but it's been so awesome. Just, you know, you can touch base with, you know, other people who shoot film. And you're like, hey, wait, what are you doing? Like, how are you doing this? Like, Linus, I don't know you guys, I don't know if you know about, you know, have you talked to Linus or not? Linus. His camera, he shoots, shoots a
so
bunch
familiar.
Of,
yeah, I know.
But anyway, like, you know, he was like posting negatives that had the borders and I just didn't know how to do that. And so I like just reached out to him and I was like, hey, how are you doing this? Like, and I mean, whatever, it's like a small, stupid thing, but at the same time, like everybody's so cool and encouraging and helpful, which has been so awesome.
I agree.
So you just talked about Lomo Purple. So you don't just shoot the Senate and the House, right? Like, do you go out and shoot a bunch of different stuff? Are you working on anything else other than just that stuff for NBC and all that? Like, do you have anything else going on? Any personal projects or any?
I'm just trying to. So, I mean, to be perfectly honest, impeachment took up so much of my life.
Oh, yeah.
For that entire period of time, like, I didn't really have very much time to post or to, you know, take a lot of stuff on a personal level. And because, you know, as I explained, like, I just started using that speed graphic during the impeachment hearings. Like, I haven't actually had the opportunity to kind of branch out with that in terms of like when it comes to like 4x5. I'm starting the idea or like starting to practice the idea of doing portraits with the speed graphic.
Yeah.
Cool.
I also have like a Super D, which you can get a lot closer with that, and I need to start messing around with that, but like the depth of field is like crazy, crazy thin. So to be honest, I mean, like, you know, going back to the idea of like just this being like a cascading situation, like every single part of this entire like endeavor, like this entire like rabbit hole of going down like with film has kind of like opened my eyes to like something else and the idea of doing something else. And like,
yeah.
And so, I mean, like this project kind of, I mean, like I'll still shoot, you know, 4x5 and stuff on the Hill for sure. Cause I mean, I just, you know, it's my job and I'll be there all the time. It's the easiest thing to do, but like, I'm definitely going to do something else. I'm also going to have a little baby girl here soon. She'll probably get a lot of pictures taken of her. So, I mean, but I haven't even like been able to wrap my head around like what's next yet, because like, I mean, honestly, I still have negatives. I still have like unprocessed negatives from impeachment that I haven't actually developed yet. They're down in the basement. So like, I haven't gotten past that yet.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool that you got some more sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah, we can't wait to see.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun.
I want to take it back to something you said right in the beginning where you said you were your own barrier. I relate to that so much. I mean, we've had people on like who do film in situations where I'd be like, well, it's just too, like, I make all these excuses. Like, we had Casey Leon, who's a film concert photographer.
Yeah.
And like, that kind of thing inspires me so much because we can make all these excuses why, well, it's too big and I got to change the film. And like, you're out here shooting with a speed graphic and I'm just like, all right, well, I don't have any excuse. Like, I need to just get out of my own way, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a huge thing for me, is that like just the idea of just doing it. And like, and so it's interesting because on Capitol Hill in particular, lawmakers are inherently used to getting their picture taken. So it's not actually that weird to pull out a camera and just like stuff it in their face and be like, hey, you know, I'm taking it. I don't even, you don't have to ask them permission. Just people just do it.
Yeah.
And so the thing is though, is that it's a little bit different because I actually ask them questions too, you know, so yeah. You know, I'll be like asking a question and then I'll like throw my camera up, which would be kind of interesting and kind of weird at the same time. But for me, I mean, like I found like particularly with the 4x5 and I've gotten a lot of feedback like on Instagram, for instance, from people being like, oh man, like I have this 4x5, but like I just never pulled it out. Mm-hmm. Like you've inspired me to like just do it. And like that's the thing about it is like particularly with 4x5 because it's so cumbersome and it's like it is a pain like to just lug around that camera, like, you know, pull it out, like put the lens on like this. So the camera that I have like has a lens that you actually have to like take out every time I put it away. Mm. And so it's like it was just like that barrier was just like myself, like the idea that like, okay, like if I want to do this, I just need to do it. And it was funny, like at first, you know, I got a lot of like weird, you know, like snickers and sneers and like, you know, people are like, well, that's like a totally ridiculous camera that you're carrying around. And I was like, yes, that is correct. Like it is totally ridiculous. Right. I 100% agree. But then like, it was cool because there was like also like the flip side reaction. Like I would be sitting in the well of like an impeachment hearing and a lawmaker participating in the hearing would look down and be like, that's such a cool camera. Yeah. And I was like, thank you. Like, I'm going to not talk to you during the middle of this hearing. And like,
but let me take your portrait later.
Right. Yeah. I'll take your picture later. So, I mean, I think that, you know, for me, like there was like a little bit of, you know, just like the logistical barrier of like just deciding to do it, but also just even like the, I don't want to say embarrassment factor, but like the idea of being like getting over the fact that like, I'm just going to do this and like, I'm going to appreciate it. And like, I'm going to like lean into it and lean into the ridiculousness of it, and but like also like appreciate the beauty of it. And I mean, again, I mean, the camera is just so beautiful. It's like a work of art itself. If I wasn't shooting with it, I would put it up on the wall. Like it's like,
right.
I mean, it's just so awesome. Sure. And so I think it's been fun to do it because the thing is that like, I also think that the photographers that cover the hill would love to be doing what I'm doing. And I'm lucky to be able to do that. And so I think I've also kind of embraced that too. Like that, I don't know if I'll ever have another situation or job where I just have the freedom to be able to do this. And so I'm kind of like leaning into this right now because I'm so lucky, like to be able to just shoot what I want to shoot and be as creative as I want to be and like shoot expired film at an impeachment hearing. I mean, like that's a ridiculous thing if you think about it. Like, I mean, I tried the Lomography, like the Metropolis stuff during the impeachment hearing and like, it's like, from a coverage standpoint, it's just like, I'm not doing it from a coverage standpoint, right? I'm doing it more from like an artistic, it's a different viewpoint. And I'm just so lucky to be able to do that.
So the speed graphic, that's it has a rangefinder, right? Does it have a rangefinder? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've gotten a bunch of questions about this because like the rangefinder is like perfectly matched to the lens. And it came like that. So when Mark sold me this camera, I sent it off, like he had it matched with this lens, the specific lens. And I, you know, I did a bunch of test shots and like, it just seemed to be spot on. And it's like shockingly good to the point where like, I'd never check the ground glass unless I'm doing some kind of like tilt situation. Which is always just a total crapshoot because I'm not using a tripod. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the rangefinder is matched like that is the only reason I can shoot handheld. I mean, you all know, like, you know, shooting large format, if you're not, I mean, you need to be able to put it on a tripod to be able to like frame your shots because you have to look at the ground glass. Yeah. Like, I don't have to do that. And like, so that's why, I mean, this camera is just so, so wonderful. And it's also that the lens that's attached to it is a Tessar. It's a 165mm. So, which is like a 48mm, like 35 equivalent.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's an F2.7. So it's fast. And like,
that's crazy. Yeah. That's very fast for large format.
Right. And I mean, like, you all know, like, in terms of like large format film, like the fastest you can really get is like 400 ISO. So I have to push it anyways. Like I'm pushing that to 1600 and the ability to go to 2.7 and the fact that the rangefinder is matched so well to the lens makes like the entire thing possible.
Wow.
There's no other way that it would be possible if like all of that stuff didn't come together, you know, perfectly, because if I had to check the ground glass every time, I mean, like I'm, you know, doing a lot of work and like preparing for my shots and like making sure that I'm in the right place and like kind of like framing everything up early anyways. But the idea that like it, the rangefinder is so matched to this lens and the lens is so fast makes it possible to like shoot indoors in these kind of like dingy hearing rooms.
Man, yeah, I was wondering about all that too, because you're the film, the images, I should say, just have that contrasty push 1600 mm-hmm. look to them, and that's like that's my heart and soul right there. Like,
I love it so much.
Yeah.
I know, it's funny because like the 4x5, like, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, like the tonal differences in 4x5, especially in the black and white, like is stuff that you know, a lot of people try to achieve, like the idea of like that wide range of tones. But I also, and the thing is you don't lose all of those tones with the large format because it's so large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so big.
But you can still get that contrast, which I think gives it that like dramatic quality. And, mm-hmm. and that's what I love. I mean, when I'm posting digital, like I shoot myself in color, but I'll convert it to black and white. Cause I mean, there's like, you know, there's a level of drama that I think that the black and white, it kind of just like reduces everything down. And it's not as noisy and as cluttered, I feel like, what you can get with color. So I've like really learned to just love black and white and just kind of like embrace that.
Ditto.
Yeah. I mean, your video screen is black and white. I can't even you have no colors. Are you always black and white where you are? Like
always. Yeah. This is just how I look all the time.
It's crazy.
So how many film holders do you show up with? Do you like bring a set number that you're like, okay, I want to get through this many today, or?
Yeah, it depends. So when I bought the camera, it came with like a whole, you know, metal box, like filled with holders. And I mean, like about a third of them were busted. Like they just didn't work. And I had already had like 10 holders. So I have probably like 30 holders if I really need them.
Wow.
But I never bring those. I mean, like, I'm telling you, I got so lucky when I bought this camera. It was just like, it gave me all the stuff to like develop and everything like that. But,
so cool.
Usually like what I was doing when it came to like the impeachment stuff, because it was every day, you know, I would come home and I would, you know, go down in the basement in the bathroom and like turn off all the lights and like pull out all the film and then reload it. I would usually bring, I'd say like 12 to 15 holders or like around 10. It depended on the day and like what, mm-hmm. you know, I was expecting to shoot and stuff like that. And because I was also shooting the Hasselblad, you know, it kind of gave me like the freedom to be like, if I ran out of 4x5 film, like I was still able to do something.
Yeah.
And so, but usually around like, you know, 12-ish. It depends. And also depend on like if I had enough film and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I was just kind of like, you know, constantly, you know, ordering from B&H because, you know, it's just, it's funny. I mean, like, you know, like mm-hmm. when you shoot 4x5, like it's just a totally different, I mean, you're so much more deliberative with your shots. So like you don't just shoot, you know, at random shots, but like at the same time, you have to like, I mean, it's easy to go through it really quickly. So, I mean, it would depend on the day in terms of like how many I would bring.
That's good. That's good to hear that it's easy to go, because my would be like, okay, I'm going to bring 12, and I'd be happy if I got like 3 shots.
Well, so I mean that's another one of those like personal barrier situations. Mm-hmm. The thing is that like, I mean, from a financial standpoint, you obviously have to think about like when you're shooting large format, it's just more expensive. Like the film is more expensive. Like you're using more chemistry, so like that's more expensive. Like, you know, there's just everything involved, you know, it costs more. So you have to obviously think about that. But like once I kind of like got past the idea, I mean, because I'm shooting black and white, and like I started shooting Ilford HP5 and like, and which is a little bit cheaper. And so, and it came in boxes of 25. So like I had, you know, a bunch with me. Like I kind of like got past the idea that like, I mean, obviously every shot is significant, particularly when you're doing it with 4x5. But like I tried to have a little bit more of like a Hasselblad mentality with the speed graphic. Like the idea that like, instead of like thinking about it in terms of like, oh, I only have 2 frames in this holder. Like thinking about it like, okay, like I have like 1 roll of film. Like the idea that like I have 12 shots, like if I would bring like, you know, 6 holders to a hearing or something like that, or like to an event, like, and I would plan out the day. I would also, I mean, like, you know, they always had hearings and then they would have, you know, press conferences afterwards or whatever and be like, okay, well, I really want to make sure that I have like, you know, the ability to take like 4 different shots at like the press conference afterwards or something like that, you know? And so kind of just like planning it out. But again, that goes back to the whole, like the idea of this whole process making me more of like a more forward thinking photographer, like being more deliberate with that kind of stuff. Like I had to think about what I was looking for or what I was going to capture, like the day before, like the night before. I'd be sitting in bed, just like with my eyes closed, being like, oh my God, okay, like what do I need to, like how many holders, you know, and how many like shots do I need to bring with me? So,
but that it would depend so on the fun.
Day. It was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. And like,
I believe it.
And it was just, I mean, you guys know this, like the idea that, like the idea of shooting with this Speed Graphic, it was 12 times harder than it would be to like shoot with my Fuji. Yeah. But then when you pull out the negatives from the canister or like from the, you know, the holder, like after you developed and it's like, you know, 12 good negatives and you're just like, oh my God, it's like 12 times more rewarding. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's so unbelievably it's so worth it. It's like you do it and then like you scan it and you know, it's just like, wow, like this whole process, it's just made me appreciate like the process of photography and just like, really like bringing it down to like the bare bones of it. I mean, like it's a box. Like
let's
light in and hits the negative. Like, I mean, it's just, and I know that this sounds kind of like naive and dumb, but like, I just didn't know that, I didn't know that much about photography. This whole process has just taught me so much about just like the mechanics of taking a picture, which I've like totally appreciated.
I love that. Man,
that's the thing too, especially when you try new things. Like, I feel like we talked about this a little bit on the last episode with Devin. Like when you try new things, it opens up so many new worlds too. It's just like you get to try new film stocks that you didn't get to try, because like 4x5 is a completely different world. I mean, there's a lot of the same stuff out there, but you know, there's just so many like old expired films. There's brass lenses. Yeah. There's this,
oh my
there's
God,
that,
totally.
You know, like it's just like when I first jumped into the 4x5 world, I was just like overwhelmed with the stuff there was to tackle next. Like, you're just like, I want to do this next.
I totally agree. And I think that it's actually interesting because the 4x5 world has been, I mean, like the lens thing is like totally like a thing for sure. And
oh yeah.
For what I'm doing in particular with this like handheld situation with this Speed Graphic, the only variation that I can really do, because I'm not going to switch out the lens because the rangefinder is so so connected to it, is film. And so, I mean, and to be honest, like there aren't really that many options for 4x5 film. You know, I mean, and like because I'm shooting mostly black and white, like I'll shoot some color, and you know, there are some new stuff like the Kodak, I think it's like E100 or whatever that they just came out with. Like they're doing that in 4x5 now, which I haven't tried yet, but I mean, it's like a low ISO, which makes it harder for me to do anyways, but like,
because
I'm inside most
tough.
Of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But like some of the things that, you know, you're able to try, I mean, I was saying like, you know, expired film, like I bought like this box of like, it was like 25 sheets of expired Kodak Portra tungsten. So because you can't actually, like most of the film, I mean, you know, like most of the color film that you buy is white balance for daylight. And so, because most of the color or most of the light inside the Capitol and most of these rooms is tungsten, a lot of the stuff will come out looking a little bit weirdly colored, which is totally fine. Like I kind of love as well, but it was interesting to like kind of try that, you know, try the idea of something expired, but you're totally right. I mean, like every part of this whole process for film, I mean, like, you know, medium format to 35, like, you know, large format, like, oh, Polaroid, oh my God, you know, like instant film, oh, pack film, I can do pack film on the back of this camera. Like, and like, there's like all of these rabbit holes. I mean, it's just been, and it's like every part is just so creative, and like seeing what other people are doing with this kind of stuff. And like, you know, like thinking of, you know, like I can think of certain things, but then like you look at somebody else who, I mean, there's a guy, there's a photographer who takes pictures of politicians with Polaroid, but then he like lifts the emulsion and messes around with it. And I'm just like, what? I mean, like, how are you doing that? Like all of these things that you could possibly be doing that like are just so cool and so amazing. And like, so, I mean, the film world, the thing is that like, you can obviously be so creative with digital, but at the same time, like this film world just allows you, like it opens up so many creative doors that like,
definitely,
like you open one door and then there's like five more doors that you can just kind of walk through, which has been so great.
It's amazing. Yes.
Agree. We'll be right back with a listener question for Frank right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code ANALOGTALK10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's listener question comes from Ancillary Adams. And he asks, what is your personal most memorable photograph? That would be very tough for me.
Mm-hmm. Like nearly impossible to do, actually. I mean, So I would say when it comes to like the 4x5 stuff that I've done, there was a picture that I took of Fiona Hill, who is like going to get into like a little bit of like a wonky like political situation here, but like a former NSC person who had come and testified before the House Intelligence Committee as a part of the impeachment hearing. And the thing is that like, I mean, as we kind of discussed already, like a lot of these scenes can become really repetitive. So I was like trying to think of a way to do this a little bit differently. And I like stepped around the table, the backside of the table as she was wrapping up her testimony. And I was like, there might be a shot of her like walking away maybe, or, you know, the idea that maybe she just turns in this direction. And I mean, like it would be, I mean, you know, like with 4x5, you have one shot.
Yeah.
And,
and it was like a lot of, yeah, it was really scary and nerve wracking. But I like set the focus, like, you know, I set the exposure, like set the shutter speed and she finishes her testimony and she turns and looks up at her attorney and I pushed the shutter and I was like, all right, okay, we'll see if that worked out. And so after I developed it, I like pulled it out and I looked at it and it was like, the focus was just like spot on. And it's just like this kind of like, it was kind of like a vulnerable moment, I think. You know, it's like the look on her face was a little bit like a, like, how did I do kind of situation.
Yeah.
And she was just like, she had given some really strong testimony, you know, about, you know, the Russian intervention in the election and all that kind of stuff. And so it was awesome just to kind of like capture like a different moment, like a, not just like a, somebody putting their hand up and saying, you know, and testifying something like, it was more of a personal moment after the testimony that I just really love that picture in particular.
Great.
And cool
answer.
I kind of have another tech question and I just thought of it now while you were talking about that.
Do it.
Are you ever able to use any sort of flash with that camera? Like for any of this, so, do they allow that?
Yeah. So, this camera, I have like a flash, you know, one of those flashes that they make lightsabers out of, basically, but I've never used it before and I'm not actually completely, so I'm pretty sure. So the way that those flashes work, I believe, is when they're coupled with the lens, because the lens has like the way that it fires. Like
a flash sync or whatever.
Yeah, flash sync. And so the lens that is on my Speedgraphic is this, it's not the lens that would come with a Speedgraphic typically. So it's actually, there's no shutter in the lens. There's the only shutter that I use is the focal plane shutter on the back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which again, I'm so lucky because like when I got this, there's a chart on the back that says what the actual shutter speeds are, because like 500 isn't necessarily 500. 500 is like 330, like 1/333rd of a second. Like it's off.
Crazy.
But I mean, whoever, you know, did the configuration of it, like went ahead and did that math and figured it all out. So I know what that is. So I'm able to kind of like, you know, compensate either way. But I haven't used flash. I want to. I mean, actually, it's kind of like my next thing that I want to kind of like really learn to do. I'm more of like a natural light photographer. Mm-hmm. I like using natural light. I'm not a big like artificial light person, but I think that, you know, you can do it in a very like cool and interesting and artistic way that isn't just like a, you know, like flashing somebody with light or like making it look like you're using a flash. So the short answer to that is that I have not used a flash for that. And I'm actually not even sure if I can. So TBD.
I was just curious about that. Well, yeah, I guess we got to ask you they might not be tough questions now that we've been talking about a single camera this whole time. But we have the desert island question.
Man.
What camera can't you live without?
So the thing is, I listen to your podcast. And so I think about this question all the time. And I don't. So I go back and forth on this because I really love the Speedgraphic. I think that it's such like a fun and amazing camera. And I think, you know, in the hypothetical world in which I had an unlimited amount of film, like it would be really, probably really awesome to have the Speedgraphic.
Yes.
Because it gives you a little bit more like creative ability with like the tilts and things like that and doing that kind of stuff. So I'd probably go with the Speedgraphic, but like the Hasselblad is so great. And just in terms of like, if I'm bopping around a desert island, I don't know if I want to look around the Speedgraphic. So I know I can't say two, so I'm not going to say two. So I'd say the Speedgraphic just because I've fallen in love with that camera so much. But I would be totally fine if for some reason I was stranded on that desert island and the Hasselblad just plopped on to my lap as well.
It parachuted down from the sky. And then that takes us to the second part of the question. Is there anything you're lusting after? Do you have a white whale swimming around out there that you haven't got to shoot or wanted to shoot for so long? Or
yeah, so I've definitely thought about this question as well. And so David Burnett, who is that photographer that I mentioned, the guy who was the other guy that was shooting large format at the hearings, he shoots with a Graflex Super D with an Aero Ektar lens on it, which is one of those old, you know, reconnaissance, World War II reconnaissance lenses that's super fast and like crazy beautiful shots that he makes with those. And he gets it from this guy like John Minnick, I think his name is, who makes these. He calls them like the Aero Liberators.
I've heard of that.
It's like gorgeous, gorgeous cameras, and they just like gorgeous images. They not only, so my camera will tilt up and like, you know, back and forth, but it won't tilt left or right, but his cameras do both. And you can look directly into the ground glass through a mirror. And so I think, I mean, if that, I've been lusting off that camera ever since, I mean, like I knew about, you know, David Burnett's stuff from beforehand, but like seeing it in person, he like let me hold it. I mean, he's like the nicest guy. And like, just, he's like, yeah, you like hold, check it out. And I was like, oh my God, I want this camera so much. And it just takes such cool, beautiful pictures. So I'd say that camera for sure.
Dude, solid answer. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah,
because he has like a what's in my bag video somewhere floating around on YouTube that I've watched probably 700 times, and he pulls that out and talks about it.
It's
and
crazy.
He also does a lot of Holga stuff too. He'll do like a lot of Holga portraits and stuff too, which is amazing. I love that.
I mean, he's like such an inspiring person, and like, I mean, he's had such an amazing career. Like he was, some of the most like iconic pictures, particularly of like the Olympics, like back in like the 80s, like are stuff that he shot. Like, and now he's just kind of like, he still does digital stuff. He shoots with Sony's, but like at the same time, he walks around with this Aero Liberator. And I mean, he just takes such amazing pictures. And you know, it's like one of those situations where like, you know, you're worried about like your idol kind of being a jerk, you know, when you meet
like disappointing you.
Like, and so you hear a lot of stories about that being like a terrible situation. Like I met him during the impeachment hearings and he was the nicest guy. And he's like, it's so cool that you're doing this 4x5 stuff. Like I give you so much credit for like developing yourself. Like that's so scary. Like it was like so cool to be able to like talk to like one of your idols and just have them be so cool and like encouraging and inspiring. And so, but I mean, like but he shoots film, but he also shoots digital, but like some of his film stuff, it's just so different, which is like inspiration for me because like the stuff that I'm shooting is also so different. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
McCool.
Yeah. Frank, thank you for joining us. We are so glad we got you on here. Cause like I said, in the beginning, your work is so freaking cool.
Oh, thank you guys. Seriously, this has been really awesome. I've been looking forward to this ever since you guys reached out. Cause I mean, honestly, your show has helped me like to grow my breadth of work and the idea of like you've opened doors that I didn't even know existed. So like, I think that your show, like it's important, like, and it's awesome to be able to like have a show like this that can help, you know, people who are interested in stuff like this to learn new ways of doing it. And so I appreciate you guys a ton.
Oh, Frank, thank you
so
much.
I'm going to cry, Frank. Where can everybody check you out? What's your Instagram? Do you have a website?
I don't have a website. I think I might work on that. But so I've Instagram is at Frank Thorpe V. So it's Frank Thorpe, T-H-O-R-P, no E, and a V, because I'm the fifth. And then I'm also on Twitter, if you actually care about congressional reporting and like actual like
sure,
news
why
stuff.
Not?
It's at Frank Thorpe without the V. I got that one without the V. So if you're interested in news stuff like that, and I don't really do my Flickr anymore, but if you actually want to see some of my old pictures from like Haiti, they exist there. And
I think
it's
just
frank.thorpe. So, but yeah, that's Instagram's where most of my work is.
Awesome. Timothy, awesome. What about you?
Guys, you can head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. The easiest way to find them is just go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of stuff there. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on all the things, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. I make film photography related stuff there. And we are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page you can like and a group you can join and share work and share stuff and talk to each other and all that stuff. So yeah.
Yay.
That's it. Awesome, Frank. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
All right, guys. First, we want to thank Frank for being on the show. Frank, your work is absolutely amazing. Like, I love that you're shooting a speed graphic in this massive digital age that we are living in. It's just an amazing project that you're working on, and we can't wait to see what else you come up with in the future. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Every Monday, we release the show 2 days early. We also have a bunch of other little perks over there. We're doing Patreon after shows. It's in the $2 tier. But just for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. And, you know, we have a bunch of other stuff over there. We're really trying to expand what we're doing for the Patreons. We appreciate each and every single one of you. And guys, we will see you next week with an all-new guest. Later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.